Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But as a battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Stella Tremblay, is certainly a member of the legislature of the state of New Hampshire, and she certainly had created a furor back there when she suggested that maybe we didn't know all of the true information about what happened at the Boston Marathon bombing. She doesn't know what happened. I don't know what happened. But I have a feeling, a very strong feeling, that we've not been told the truth. So because, of course, they've done everything to sort of embarrass her back there, and that she's been attacked by the media, and certainly the local legislature passed some sort of a resolution in support of the government story of what happened at the Boston Marathon bombing to embarrass her. I asked Stella to come on and be with us tonight and give the background of really what's going on. Of course, when I called Stella, she actually knew who I was. She had actually read our book and had some idea of the things we'd talked about. And she'd actually read the article that's up on the internet on the Bauman. And certainly you'll find probably 20 references to some remarks that I made one evening on our program about Jeff Bauman, just saying that there's something strange. I don't know what the answer is, but I do know one thing, and that is that something is wrong. Stella, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on your program.
Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us just a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in politics? You're not a professional politician, are you?
I am not. I am a mother and a grandmother. I got involved with, like many of us, in the Tea Party movement. We just knew there was something wrong. It's like people were wondering if there was a disconnect between our constitutional liberties and what was happening in Washington. It's like they were deaf. And so I know in New Hampshire, not this session, but the session before, there was a sweep of 139 new members that had never been in politics. Tea Party movers, I guess, and libertarians, and there was quite a change in the House last session, and I happened to, because New Hampshire is very unique, it is, like anyone can, you just have to go to your town hall, and you put your name in that you want to run, you know, whether, what side you want to run in, and you're on the ballot, and that's it. And you just campaign. And I ended up getting elected, as well as, like I said, 130 newbies. And we try to change things, but that's how I got involved. Anyways, I thought when I went into politics that I could change things, or that, you know, something... we could do something, but we realized that politics, well, I, for myself, I've learned many difficult lessons that the people that want to go in and change things, you're a pawn in a system that does not want to move or change or do anything. So that's how I got involved.
Well, I'm glad you're there. Basically, I think that sometimes maybe just gradual and steady pressure, all we can do is get more and more people. There's quite a number of members of the Tea Party there and libertarians in the New Hampshire legislature. Stella, are there quite a few people from the Tea Party in the legislature there with you?
I believe so. This year, of course... that did not happen. I think people were targeted.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be right back.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House No. 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Dr. Stan, I guess it's Stella Tremblay, and she's a member of the New Hampshire legislature. She was elected, it sounds like, in 2010, and she was, there were quite a few people who were elected along with her who were Tea Party libertarians, and then she was reelected the second time, and of course a lot of the people, good conservatives trying to do something, didn't get reelected, because of course the last thing that the powers that be want is for people within our state legislatures or any level of government who questioned what we're being told. Well, anyway, certainly Stella was then contacted shortly after the Boston Marathon bombing by one of her constituents who suggested she goes to Infowars.com and looks at the material that Alex Jones has. Now, basically, of course, we all saw what happened. We saw the explosion. We saw the all the people who were injured and damaged, and we're told that there were three people who were killed there. We're told that there were somewhere between 175 and 225 people wounded. And we're told that these two boys, Sydney from Chechnya, their families had come from there, were responsible. And, of course, one of them is dead. The other can't talk because he shot himself in the mouth. We were told he shot himself in the mouth with his gun, tried to commit suicide, and then we found out he didn't have a gun. So, I mean, how do you shoot yourself in the mouth try to commit suicide when you don't have a gun? And how do you get a bullet wound in the back of your throat? Simply, when you're just laying in a boat there. And of course, it's because, of course, when he was laying in the boat, they fired hundreds of rounds of ammunition at somebody who didn't have a weapon. Why would they do that? Well, anyway, of course, Stella was actually suggested her, one of her constituents, who she believed and trusted, suggested she go to Alex Jones' website and look at the videos and look at the pictures they had. So what happened when you went to Alex Jones' website? What did you see? And why did you question the official government story?
Well, it's the first time that someone had showed me footage and said, is there a possibility that this was, and they showed actually military type people there. They were not sure who it was. They thought it might be craft because of the work. I have never heard of these things. But I panicked because I finally realized that there may be a possibility that a segment of government may be involved behind this. And I just panicked and I tried to get on Glenn Beck's, the Blaze to try to give him a tip. Do you know about this? And I, it's the first time, it's like when you first get swindled. And,
and you suddenly realize there are dishonest people out there. I know what you mean.
And the first thing you do, you go almost like you're in shock. And then the next thing you are is you're upset that you were so, stupid enough to forget it, to fall for this. And so I was in a panic mode and I thought this could be true. And I couldn't get anywhere. So finally went to a Glenn Beck commentary and I wrote in a panic because you understand that it's nothing that I sat down and thought about and said, how should I word this? I said, is the government involved? Is this what you've been telling us for years? You know, a government creates a crisis. And then there's a top-down, people underneath are so upset and so emotional. They let things happen to them that really, at any other time, thinking logically, they would not allow that to happen. So I got on there. I said, is this a top-down, bottom-up? I know that the drones are being used against citizens. I know that, all these little pieces of puzzle of things that I've learned through the years were kind of coming together. And that's what I did. I wrote that on there, not realizing, and then I just left it. It was a comment. Who would have known that I'm a legislator, right? So I went to the next day we had session. It was a short session, and we usually have caucus beforehand. And as I walked in, people were looking at me like a strange and said, are you all right? And I said, well, what do you mean, am I all right? Yeah. I said, you're all over the paper and you're in the Huffington Post. I said, how did I get on there? I just made a comment on a Facebook page.
Now, for our listeners out there, if you don't know, Huffington Post is one of the leading internet websites, newspapers up there. Huffington actually she sold it for about $30 million, some fantastic sum of money. But it has a lot of very interesting things. A lot of people do read it, and apparently they'd picked up the remarks that Stella had made, certainly when she had put something on the Glenn Beck website. And now it's in the Huffington Post, and she is associated with his nut fringe who believes that we may not have been told all the truth about what happened. So what happened at that point?
Well, at that point, we had the GOP chair come in and tell us what a great work we were doing, but that we were less legislators and that whatever we say, we have to be very careful out in the public because, we are representing a party. And to me, the party is not as important as the truth. I think that, I was absolutely everybody in our majority came against me and kind of said, they think that I did not reflect the Republican Party, which is fine because I am as also an individual. My views don't always represent the Republican Party. And I was doing this on my own individually. But when I thought that I could share it with people, and anyways, I was kind of dragged through the mud kind of thing, even by my own party.
Even people you knew and liked, suddenly ignoring you or suddenly avoiding you, and as if somehow.
Not really, because at this time I was in a committee where most of our bills have already been seen. I was at the. Anyways, let's move all along here. I didn't know all this. Then we went into session. It was a half-day session. I had no idea that I was being set up. As soon as we left, there was reporters there. They had that camera in front of us, and they focused on the victim, the fact that I had no sympathy or empathy with the victims, and how dare I, especially, you know, a military. Anybody who knows me knows how compassionate I am. Everyone knows that how I always support our military. And I was not prepared. I was just in shock. And they're saying, and I was trying to say, no, I want a full investigation. There's more to it than what the media is saying. So they kept on turning and saying, no, no, you know, how dare you, you know, you're saying that these people have no feeling, this man who's done everything for his country. You're trying to put him down and saying that what kind of animal are you that you have no sympathy for these victims?
No, you're speaking to all the people who are wounded there. Is that what the...
Yes, because I was, from what I could see, it's a possibility these were staged actors. I did not know at the time. For real, there, if this was real or not, I needed to get more information, and I wanted honesty. And finally, one of the gentlemen I looked at, and they kept just pressing me, and then I kind of lost it, and I said, look, what about Benghazi? How long are we going to have to wait to get a report on this? Everything is just, or fast and furious. Everything we're told is swept under the rug, under the guise of it's classified, and nothing is done about it. And I said, our Congress is absolutely impotent, or they're not effective at all. It's like they have no power whatsoever to do what they're supposed to do. And I turned to them and I said, do your job. All America wants is the truth, and we can handle the truth. But we cannot deal with lies and the things that are going on. And so, and I have to tell you something else before that. I believe when I came home that day, people started calling me. And this is one lesson I learned. I most Americans treat people like they're your friends. I got a call from a very nice gentleman saying, well, you know, pretending to be really interested in the truth. And he said, well, what do you think? And I said, I don't know. All I know is I was talking to my sister, and it just seems surreal. This gentleman, I don't know. And people say, well, people that have their legs blown off are in pain. I said, yeah, but anyways, so that's where I got more problems also. But this gentleman happened to be a, reporter, and so they bait you. They try to get all the information and twist it. People don't, you know. So this is a really difficult lesson, and I believe Americans have to realize that good people that expect you know, to be talking and to have First Amendment rights, just to have a discussion. That's all I want, is just a discussion. And they turn things on you.
And basically, if you analyze the media, and there have been studies on the media, about 90% of the people in the media vote Democratic. They fund the Democratic Party. And I've talked to a number of reporters, and they're just, certainly if they try to do the right thing, they get into all sorts of trouble. And there are a lot of them, of course, who will do exactly what Sella is describing. They'll ask you a question, and then they will twist your words and give it an entirely different meaning and use quotation marks suddenly to alter the structure of what you've said. And basically, of course, this is why when you read the media, ladies and gentlemen, you can't necessarily believe what you're saying. And so Stella now is a target. He's targeted by the media for humiliation.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you sound. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. 8927.
Hold the thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and so is Estella now. So she's been certainly condemned by certain people at the leadership of the Republican Party and the New Hampshire legislature. She, of course, is attacked in a good part of the media. She gets home, and she's contacted by a radio program, I guess a television. Was it a radio or television program, the one she's
It's a radio program.
Okay, fine. But is it a mainline? I don't know. But it's one of the big ones back there, mainline program. Or is it a program like ours where I'm answerable to nobody but my listeners?
Absolutely. It's alternative media.
All right, fine.
They are out of California, and they've got about 50,000 listeners, I believe.
Okay, fine. What again was the program?
It's the Pete Santilli Show.
Pete Santilli. So what happened? Did you go on to
the
program?
Well, I was very apprehensive because of people calling, and you have to really go by your feeling. Is this person sincere? Or, you know, I began to get very skittish. And so I said to this lady, look, I don't want to talk to anybody. All I wanted was the truth. And she said, you know, let's see. We're friends. Just get on the radio and speak about your experience and what has happened. And she said, but you know what? If you do come on, I have to warn you that there might be a lot of negativity. You might be attacked. And I never thought ever what she meant or what the price was. So I got on her show after a little bit of hesitation. And I just basically said what I told you, how I was upset about the bombing, how I started to finally wake up and look at, not looking at it emotionally, but looking at it logically. You know, how can all these people be running, for example, and if the bomb went off, just one person fell, how about the others around them? I don't know, just little things like that. And, it got really vicious to the point where I got some death threats. They promised that if I did go on the show, they would monitor the waves, airwaves. And, Pete was wonderful. He kept me in touch all the time. And, he said, look, if you need anything, if anybody comes to your door or whatever, you can call us anytime. And this guy, for our freedom of our country, he is on the front lines. I just really admire this gentleman, as I admire you, and the willingness to write books like Brotherhood of Darkness.
Well, thank you so much. Well, anyway, you did the radio program. How did it go?
Well, like I said, I started getting death threats. They put my name, especially in the Nashville Patch, which is a newspaper. They put my phone number and my address out there, and people were going to come to my home. I had a few people from the news coming over, and I would not answer the phone. I would not answer because they were pretty nasty. And unless they wanted to have a conversation where we could talk, I wasn't about to subject myself to just personal attacks. That's not what we're about. We want a discussion, honest, truth. And let's say, am I wrong about this? Okay, let me know. That's how you have a discussion, but not personal attacks. That is a left Saul Alinsky tactic, and I was not going to go there. And it was very scary. At a point, they had called me, the Pete Santilli Show, and said, look, it looks like there's a group that might be coming over to your home. And I was at home. I wouldn't leave the house. I was really terrified. But one day, something said to me, leave the house now. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is always there with you and protecting you. And I just packed and left because I felt that I was in a lot of danger, which I did. And then after the initial shock, and I just kept writing letters, and that was okay. And then Pete got hold of me and said, this is really bad. We have to make you expose on a larger national scale because then people will know you out there. If something happens to you, at least they know that you spoke out. And so that's how I got on InfoWars.
And so that was, of course, with Alex Jones. And
correct.
And basically, of course, now you're in the top notch because Alex is doing a great job of getting information out. And he has so many more listeners than we do. And basically, of course, then what was your experience with Alex?
Well, you know, let me tell you, anybody who says that I never went to Alex Jones because the media puts it into us, it's conspiracy. He's like way out there. don't listen to him. So I kind of fell along like the sheep that most people are.
Hold the thought.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess Estella Tremblay, and of course she gets on the Alex Jones program, and then of course people really from all across the country start sending her information about what happened on September 11, 2001, and about so many other things, and she suddenly, it's suddenly as if suddenly the sky opens up, and she can suddenly understand all of these things. She never wanted to believe any of these things before. She wanted to believe like everybody else did, and suddenly she becomes aware of the fact that so much of what she believes isn't true, and basically, of course, she begins to study and read and try to find out what's going on. And for a lot of our listeners out there, I mean, a lot of people start out listening to our programs, and as the gentleman said last night who called in, Jay from Santa Cruz, he said, "I thought you were crazy. I thought that you were crazy. In fact, I called my friend Scott and said, that guy's crazy." And Scott said, "Just continue listening." Well, Jay, after a couple of years, he was a dedicated communist. He gave up communism, and basically he accepted our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave a five-minute dissertation last night. If you can get it on the Internet, it's certainly on our archives, should be posted. It would be the first hour of last night, I believe. But basically what he said was everything that needed to be said. I had nothing to add to him. He had listened, he had learned, and it had transformed his life. And this is what happens when you suddenly realize that you've been lied to and most of what you believe just is not true. So anyway, Stella, go ahead, pick up the story from there.
Well, I just want to tell you that since I was a young girl, I've always believed in Jesus Christ. He has been, he's like my invisible friend. He's always around for me. guiding me, and I really believe that he had a hand in this, because, you know, I was not going to run again this year. To me, there's too much corruption in government, and I had come back just 2 weeks before campaigning, and I sent one little letter out, a card, and I got elected. But before I even sent these out, I said, look, I'm not going to be elected, but Lord, I'm going to do this. If you want me to be elected, it'll happen. And lo and behold, I get and I did not know at the time, until this happened, how the Lord was going to use me. And so just speaking out and asking, is there a possibility that there's government involvement in this? How could it, asking questions, bring such a storm? I had a gentleman that called from Georgia. He's a military, and he first got on the phone with me, and he said he was disgusted, and, you know, how could I be saying that? And after we talked for a while, and I let him know, look, I'm a constitutionalist. I did not want to, politics is not a career. You go, you serve, and then you go home, and you continue doing what you're doing. And you should have the best, you should go to serve for your constituents. That's all you're supposed to do. If you go in there for your own gain, then you're not in there for the right reason. I explained to him how government should be limited. And I mean, I had a whole conversation with him, and I told him how I started to look at the tape. How is it possible, for example, that the explosion, the glass was outside onto the street, like as if the explosion was in the building instead of the other way around, just little things like that. And after he talked to me, he said, he apologized and he said, you're not crazy. I said, no, I'm just trying to get the truth out. We deserve it. So many people that had the dream of individual freedom, individual religion, came to this country and they gave up everything. Their families, I get very emotional about this. Constitution given to us by God is so important. It is a universal law. It existed before the earth was even created for us. And so it's important. And for us to give it up just like that, it's not, and look all how many men and women have served our country and been maimed and have given up their lives for our freedom. We just cannot completely ignore this.
No, we can't.
We have to find the truth.
And I think that's what you were trying to do. And I basically, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of questions. I've got a lot of questions. And I will tell you that certainly one of our listeners recorded something that I had said and put it up on the Internet. And you'll probably find about 20 or 30 references to Stan Monteith and Jeff Bauman. And I simply just said that there's something wrong with the story. I don't know what it is. But I do know one thing, and that is that I saw the picture of this young man sitting in a wheelchair. He's had both legs blown off, the left leg below the knee, the right leg above the knee. And he's just sitting in a wheelchair. He's not crying out in pain. They've got a tourniquet on his left leg, but not on his right leg. And he would have bled to death long ago. Why would they take a man who certainly should have been in profound shock and so they put him in a wheelchair, and they're wheeling him someplace? And then, of course, if you look at the picture, you'll see he has the left side below the knee amputation, and it sort of looks like there's some muscle or something hanging out behind the leg. But when you see other pictures of him, and fortunately there are a lot of pictures there that you can get on the Internet, just put in Jeff Bauman pictures, and you'll see him laying on the ground with a left below the knee amputation. But it's a well-healed left BK amputation stump. I know an amputation stump. I've seen a lot of them. I've done hundreds of BK amputations and AK amputations during my years as an orthopedic surgeon. There is no muscle. There is nothing at all. Look at those pictures on the Internet. He's laying there. He has a well-healed low BK, left BK amputation stump. below the knee amputation stump with a piece of tibia sticking out, a bloody piece of tibia. Now, there's no muscle. There's no nothing. There's several pictures that you can see that in. And yet, when you see it in the chair, you can see certainly the muscle behind. And then 19 days later, why, he's out of the hospital. Now, remember, he's lost both legs. But now he's out of the hospital 19 days later. I mean, you stay in the hospital till you've got prostheses. But no, he's sitting in a wheelchair, waving a flag with a big smile on his face at the Boston Bruin hockey game. You can see this, ladies and gentlemen. And now he has two above-knee amputations. The left below-knee amputation is gone. Now it's an above-the-knee amputation. How could that possibly be? It doesn't make any sense. And basically, of course, we can get into our dissertation on this and how it happened. But the important thing is there's something wrong with the pictures. Could you imagine somebody having lost both legs, both of them blown off, sitting in a wheelchair, looking a little discouraged, but certainly not screaming in pain? And then why would they be wheeling him? Why wouldn't they have him there waiting for the ambulance? Why would they be wheeling him in a wheelchair? And you will see a number of pictures. Or are those staged pictures? Who is Jeff Bauman? Well, I called the hospital that never heard of him, where he was hospitalized. I called the rehab hospital three separate times, and they'd never heard of him. But suddenly I left a message with the fellow from the press office there. He'd refused to return my calls for some time. Finally, I got him. And basically he said, well, and you could tell, you can tell when somebody's not telling the truth. And this young man was very ill at ease talking to me. And he said, well, I transmitted your message to the family, but they didn't want to have anything to do. I said, well, why didn't you call me back and just tell me that? And he said all sorts of things and, just sort of tried to change the subject. And I said, can you tell me why he had a BK amputation on the day of the injury and an AK amputation after that? And he didn't want to talk about it. Well, why wouldn't the hospitals, either the rehab hospital or the original acute surgical hospital, have any record of his being there? I asked how we could get in touch with the family. He told me, of course, that there was no way to reach them or to reach anybody. But they were giving information to a reporter from the New York Times who was going to run some studies. Ladies and gentlemen, the New York Times is part and parcel of the Brotherhood of Darkness. I don't know what happened that day. But I do know we haven't been told the truth. And you can go up on the internet, just type in Jeff Bauman, Stan Monteith, the Dr. Monteith, the Dr. Stan. You'll find all the articles there. I put out the questions. I'd like to see an independent investigation. I don't think there will ever be one. Go ahead, Stella.
Well, what else can I say? All I know is that I've started looking at what the reporters have written, and there's discrepancies. But people are, ridiculed. And when they do ask pertinent questions, everyone does not want to admit that there could be something wrong, because that their whole world that has been created for them will have to be abandoned. And that's scarier than just believing what is told them. And what I said before is we do need an independent investigation. But will it happen? I do not know. But it's so much easier to attack those who ask questions than to come up with answers. For example, I said a bomb that explodes in the way it's supposed to, there shouldn't be anything left of the backpack. Perhaps I'm not correct in this assertion, but the bomb that was supposedly in the backpack, and they show the backpack is pretty well intact considering it just went through an explosion. So just little things like that.
Well, I think another thing, Chris, when you look at they have all the pictures there of the older brother wearing his backpack, but there's no way you could put a 6-gallon pressure cooker in that small backpack. The other people who are from Kraft International are some sort of a some sort of a paramilitary group, professional mercenaries. You see their backpacks. There was plenty of room to put that in there. And then, of course, you had the backpacks we saw. They were black, you know, and certainly one of these show actually had the Kraft insignia on it. It had simply the same emblems that the fellow from the Kraft was had, and they weren't the emblems that the older brother had. Now, there were two backpacks with pressure cookers in them, both black. But the one, and you can see this on this, the pictures there, the one brother's carrying a white backpack. He's carrying a white backpack, so how did it get to be black? All sorts of questions nobody wants to ask them. And suddenly I had a couple of very threatening emails telling me how terrible I was. And so I responded, just as you did, very nicely, and said, I just hope you'd help me get hold of Jeff Bauman, because I've been trying to reach him, and I would feel much better if I could talk Jeff and find out how he could have a left below the knee amputation on the day that the pictures were taken, and then a bilateral above-the-knee amputation 19 days later. Could you just explain that to me? How could I get hold of Jeff and his family? And basically, as you take an approach to people out there, you know, and several of them wrote back and said, well, you ought to call the hospital. Well, I wrote back and said, I've called the hospital. They denied that the patient was ever there. Oh, well, maybe they were just incommunicado, or they were using artificial names. Maybe that's true. But if you can help me so I can check it out myself, and after a couple of exchanges, why people quit communicating with me. I always tried to be nice with them, but I just said, I don't know the answer. Maybe you can explain to me why we have a BK amputation on the day of the injury and an AK amputation, above-the-knee amputation, I said 19 days later. Nobody wants to address that. They just want to attack me or attack you or vilify anybody who questions the official party line. But remember, the older brother is now dead. The other, a younger brother, cannot speak. He has a bullet hole in the back of his throat, and he didn't have a gun with him. How did he get the bullet hole? Nobody wants to ask that question. Now, we're told he scribbled a confession on the side of the boat. How do we know he scribbled it on the side of the boat? How do we know anything other than what we're told by the controlled media? And the stories keep changing and changing and changing, don't they, Stella?
Absolutely. Even to this day, there, you know, they've got an answer for everything, which is fine. By the way, I did call the Spalding Hospital and spoke to a gentleman. He said he was no longer there. I tried to get his number online. I would like to talk with him and apologize if I hurt him in any way, and hopefully bring him some memento and talk with him. But I also have not been able to get a hold of him.
And if anybody out there in the listening audience knows how to get hold of Jeff Bauman, B-A-U-M-A-N, I would love to talk to him. I would love to find out that I'm wrong. So if you know how to get hold of him, you know how to get hold of the family, please give us a call, and we'd be glad to get in touch with him. And I will be the first one to apologize if I'm wrong. But I find that I cannot. I've spent a lot of time, a lot of effort trying to reach him, and I haven't been able to do that. And I would simply ask you, ladies and gentlemen, how much time have you spent trying to analyze this story? Have you put any calls in? And people who certainly want to be critical of Stella, I doubt that they did any personal research. They just simply accepted what they'd read in the newspaper and seen on television. Well, how much of it was true? Certainly, were some people killed? I assume that they were. We don't know. I don't know any of the people who were, but I've been told there were people killed. How many people were wounded? Well, initially it was 175, and then it was 225. I don't know. I didn't have a chance to check with the hospitals. But certainly something happened. There's no question. But have we been told the truth about that or about so many other things? Well, go ahead, Stella. We're getting towards the end of the program, and people want to hear you talk rather than me. Go right ahead.
Well, I've just been on YouTube and checking out reports. There's actually a report out there of a whole, I don't know what hospital it was, but they were put on the alert that there was a lot of casualties coming in. They had an orthopedic surgeon on call, and she was explaining how they get together before trauma comes in so that everyone has notified their family just in case they're going to be there overtime, and they want to make sure that the staff is calm and ready for any emergencies. And the victims did come in, but they went straight upstairs. Their services were not used. I mean, you could actually tell that there was blood and injuries, but they went straight upstairs, and the staff never really got involved. And so even I'm sure there are some nurses and perhaps personnel out there that may shed some more light, on this incident.
Well, I'm sure that there were people injured. I'm sure that there may very well have been people that lost limbs, but all we know is this one, if we could just get that answers on this one individual case. Maybe this was, everything else was true. Maybe this one case was staged. But if you can tell me how we went from a PK amputation on the initial pictures to an AK amputation 19 days later, I would be very, very grateful. And so if you're out there or you know how to reach me, I guess Estella Tremblay, and I think she feels exactly as I do, we don't know what happened. But I think we have a right to question, because basically the story kept changing and changing and changing. We'll be back in a moment to wrap up tonight's program.
Hello, folks. Estella, this is Steve Day, the Director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you sell. Being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
God bless
bless you. Bye-bye.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center.
Well,
and over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back to health after coming to our live-in Christian health retreat. Today's sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.
You can't do it on your own. And I would simply say amen to that. This is what we do. Well, certainly there's no way we could certainly survive and have survived for 50 years in this battle without the Lord's help. And certainly we hope that all of you out there and the listening audience will pray. You'll pray for Shella or for Sheila. I'm sorry, for Stella. Her name is Stella Tremblay. You'll pray for Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and Noah Hutchings and John Leffler and Butch Paw and the other people who are on the front lines of this battle for the survival of Western and Christian civilization. And then, of course, if you're in a position to help Radio Liberty, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're not, why, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Basically, when I called Stella, she had already had a copy of our book, and she'd read it. She has an idea of what's going on. And if you'd like to get a copy of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which really has changed the lives and outlook of a lot of people, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, because you can get it on DVD, you can get a CD of it, you can get them the book, the CD, and the DVD all together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special at a reduced price. And then, of course, you need to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret. You need to get my talk on Agenda 21, the Covert Plan. You need to get my talk, certainly, on Fluoride, the Hidden Agenda. Fluoride, the hidden agenda, because they're poisonous, ladies and gentlemen. They know exactly what they're doing. And certainly we have a wonderful DVD. We haven't talked much about it, but it is put out by Dr. Russell Blaylock. It's on vaccines. And certainly, but he goes into the background of what happened when they took a lot of schizophrenic patients and they put them on a vegan diet and their mental abnormality cleared up. And then they took them off the vegan diet and the schizophrenia came back again. These are certainly terrible things to consider, but we have so many important DVDs and tape sets. We have the DVD with Russell Blaylock. We have the 4-CD set with Dr. Russell Blaylock, Life-Saving Secrets, and we encourage you to go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and look at the books and the DVDs and the other things we carry that you need for your health, that you need for your wealth, and that you need to have to understand the true spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. So basically, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to understand the dark spiritual force behind what's going on, you need to get Constance Cumby's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. We have used copies of it. It's out of print, but we do have used copies of it. And then, of course, we have the DVD, the talk that Constance gave here, and we have a 4-CD set by Constance Cumby, and you can call our 800 number and request these things. You need to get them. You need to listen to them. And, of course, anything that we have produced, you have our permission for you to reproduce and get it out as long as you're not selling them for a profit. Just get the information to others. Our job is to reach as many people we can as we can in the time allotted to us. So basically, of course, then you want to know certainly the background of how they killed Bobby Kennedy. We have a 4-CD set there. If you want to know how they killed Martin Luther King, we have a 4-CD set. If you want to know how they killed General Patton and why they killed General Patton, we have that. And we actually have a book on General Patton called Target Patton. We have a book on Martin Luther King written by the lawyer who was actually hired by the King family to bring the truth out. They're all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. Take advantage of the material we have and then help us reach people out across America. Encourage them to listen to our programs. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. Beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountain to the
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owner's management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of one of our favorite authors. Her name is Ellen Traylor, and she's written a number of books, which we carry. We carry almost every book Ellen has written because we think that the stories are important. Now, they're biblical stories, but of course, there's certainly a built into this the background of a novel story that using the biblical foundation and then building a story so they get to know the customers. And basically, we're living in what I believe are truly prophetic times. And one of the things that in the scriptures we're told that the disciples asked, Jesus, when he would return, how would they would know about his return? And as he said, as it was in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, and then it goes on to describe what is going to happen when he returns. Well, why is the days of Noah important? Well, because, of course, this was a dividing line, basically. There was a well-advanced society that existed at the time of Noah. They were descendants of Abraham, and they'd become totally corrupt. The Nephilim, the evil ones, were running rampant, and certainly, but they had an advanced scientific society. And God destroyed that with the flood and started in all over again about 2,400 years B.C., basically. The world is 6,000 years old. Why, of course, the original society existed about 1,600 years. Then came the flood, and then came the days of Noah, So basically, I've asked Ellen to come on and describe her book, which we carry. It's called Noah. But, of course, basically it's her interpretation from extensive study, which you and I don't have the time to do. I don't have the time to actually sit down and read all the books about what life was like before the flood. But Ellen does, and she does extensive study before she ever writes a book. So I asked her to come on and certainly tell us about her story of Noah. What's the exact title of the book, Ellen?
Well, it's just that, Noah.
Noah. Well, you go right ahead, and I'm going to be quiet because I want to hear what you have to say, and I'm sure that's what the audience really wants to hear as well. So what was the world like before the flood?
Well, Dr. Stan, first of all, thank you for having me on. It's been a little while. I think about 5 years or so since I've been on.
And I apologize for that. We have missed having you on, and we just get so busy being busy. Sometimes we don't get some of our favorite guests on it, so I apologize. But anyway, go ahead.
No, that's fine. And I think that we've talked about Noah more than any other book I've written. It seems to be one of your favorites and one of the favorites of the audience, too. I think another reason for that is that it is so timely. The story of Noah is really the story, by and large, of what's going on today. And so we are living in the time of Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, where Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it would be again before he comes. And we're seeing this in so many ways, and I want to talk about a few of those ways this evening.
All right, you go right ahead.
Well, let's see, where to start? First of all, the timeline of all this is somewhat in question. I know that according to Usher's chronology, everything is figured based on the generations that are mentioned. However, we do know, Dr. Stan, that in the Middle Eastern cultures and in ancient cultures, and particularly in the Middle East.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Ellen Taylor. Go right ahead.
Okay. The point I was making about chronology in the records kept in the genealogies of ancient cultures, there is something called the gap theory. And some people think that's pretty controversial. I don't think it's really all that controversial. It seems that in the records of the kings' lists and so forth in those days, they would quite often mention the highlights. It would be like looking at a mountain range and from a distance and only seeing the top peaks of the range in the great distance. And then as you got closer, or as the range got closer to you at your end, you would see the more intermediary peaks and the smaller peaks. So the genealogies, it's very, very possible that they do contain gaps. So the length of time going back to the days of Noah could be anywhere up to like about, I would say, 12,000 B.C. That's my take on it. It's based on a lot of research, and I don't think that it's really necessary to assume that we have every generation listed. Plus, another thing, these men lived for such a great long time that it's possible that other generations came and went, and some of these patriarchs were still around. So when it says so-and-so beget so-and-so, it could be talking about a great-grandson, someone down the line further, that he would have been a really big man in importance, and so he's the one who's named. Why do I bring all this up? Because the reason being that the geological record seems to indicate, particularly in the findings in recent years, Dr. Stan, regarding buildings and villages that have actually been unearthed in the Middle East that are dating back to right around 10,000 B.C. And what is fascinating about that to me is that some of these archaeological sites are right on Mount Ararat. And the names of the sites seem to relate to the family of Noah.
All right, I want you to hold that thought.
Okay.
And we're going to be back here in just a moment with all of our listeners right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ellen has certainly analyzed and studied this, and I put a great deal of credence in what she says, and she says that certainly there's some people who think that basically the flood was much longer ago than has been ordinarily assumed, and that there have been a lot of studies and recent things that suggest there are a lot of certainly villages and towns on Mount Ararat. This is close to where, of course, the Ark settled, and basically are the mountains of Ararat, and basically these go about 10,000 years, and she talks about the gap theory, and that maybe certainly our timing on this is not as accurate as it might be, but that certainly that these villages would date back to the initial descendants of Noah. So you pick the story up. So we start out by questioning the exact time on this, but go ahead.
Okay, so be that as it may, the villages that have been found, and we're talking about just within the last
15 years or so, 20 years at the most, have place names that seem to be directly related to Noah's family. We know that when they settled on the mountain, that as the population grew, they moved down the mountain, then they moved into the Euphrates Valley and following the rivers down toward what was called Shinar, or eventually Samaria. And all of this is, you know, so obvious in the archaeological record. It begins there. The languages of Earth begin there. All of our Indo-European languages trace back to the Fertile Crescent, to the foot of Ararat, to the valleys of the Euphrates and the Tigris.
And because that's what we're told, that the god who said they intervened, as uh-huh. was basically, it was the ruler Nimrod who wanted to unite the whole world under his rule, and God intervened and caused the people to speak different languages, and suddenly you had all of these languages spontaneously occur at exactly the same time. They didn't evolve, and you have all of these different languages. Where do the languages come from? Well, people could come up with all sorts of ideas, but of course the simple thing is God created them because they're all in perfect order. So go ahead, Ellen.
Okay. So much of science, both geologically, even astronomically, linguistically, architecturally, these things trace back to Mount Ararat and to that very place where the second generation of humanity, in other words, after the Adam's people were wiped out, then you had Noah and his family, and everything began with Noah and his family. Every one of us is related to Noah. We're all related through one of the three sons, either Ham, Japheth, or Shem.
Well, no, but when the Lord talked about, you know, as it was in the days of Noah, was he referring to the days of Noah before the flood or the days of Noah after the flood?
Well, my take on it is that he was referring to the days of Noah before the destruction came, because Jesus is talking about the end of the world, okay? So he's making an analogy there. He's making a parallel. He's saying what will bring about the end in our time is the same thing that brought about the end in Noah's time. So he's talking about the evil that was on earth at the time of Noah. The Bible tells us that before the flood, every imagination of the hearts of men was only evil continually, quote unquote. In other words, there was no goodness anymore. Noah was the single righteous man, and his family was spared. Only 8 people made it on the ark, and mainly because of Noah. And everybody else, God saw fit to destroy. I mean, this is how wicked it was. And so, what are the parallels? Well, there are many, and I'll touch on about 3 or 4 of them. One of them is rampant evil. I mean, you saw what happened in London today. You know, the decapitation of a policeman in the streets of London by terrorists. This is insane. A man wandering around screaming and yelling with a machete in his hand and blood all over his hand. This is the kind of evil we're seeing in our world today. And interestingly, when you look at that footage that's being played over and over today on television, the people wandering around the street in the background act as though nothing's happened.
And where was the decapitation? Where was this man killed?
In London.
In London, England?
In London, England.
Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. And the people in the background walking around the streets of the neighborhood, they're just going about their business. Now, this is the kind of evil that is becoming commonplace in our world, Dr. Stan. The Boston Marathon, the Aurora theater. I mean, we can name them over and over. It's almost every week, it seems. There's some atrocity. It's becoming commonplace.
Sandy Hook School, of course. Go ahead.
Yes, Sandy Hook. Columbine. I mean, you know, for a while there, they were spread out by a few years. Now they're becoming closer and closer and closer. This is what Jesus is talking about in one respect, is rampant evil, only evil continually, to the point where people will become so hardened to it, they won't think anything of it. And of course, a lot of this relates to the media and movies and all that, but it's a spiritual thing. And so our tolerance for violence, in fact, our preference for violence is becoming more and more and more acute in our society. To say nothing of just rampant immorality, in the days of Noah, immorality was so rampant. There were spirit beings, Dr. Stan, called the Nephilim, who wandered around, who were actually in charge of the world at that time. The Bible calls them the sons of God, but by that it's meaning fallen angels. Okay, these were fallen angels. They became known as the gods, and they had many, many names other than the gods. I'll just give you a few of them. They were known as angels of light. They were known as daemons. The word became demon later. They were known as the fallen ones, the governors, the great ones, the lords, the masters, the Olympians, the overseers, the princes, and the rulers of darkness, the sons of God, and the watchers. Now, some of these terms come from mythology and from history. These are the terms that were applied to what Moses called the mighty men of old, the men of renown. They were either the fallen beings themselves, or they were their offspring. Now, these fallen beings, who were the angels who were cast out of heaven after the war in heaven, before the earth was created, and they were cast down to this earth, they became the ruling governors of this world. And the Bible tells us that the population of earth was divided up according to the numbers of the sons of God, who were the overseeing entities who were in charge of this world. Their master was the ruler of the air. Another term for him is Lucifer, or angel of light. Okay, all of this comes out of the book of Genesis, and it comes out of prophecies describing the war with Michael and the angels against Lucifer in heaven. I've written a book on that too, by the way. It's called Gabriel, the War in Heaven. and I've also written one called Melchizedek, King of Jerusalem, which is a sequel to Noah and talks about what went on after the flood and how quickly we reverted back to some of this stuff. Because the Bible also says that the sons of God looked on the daughters of men and had relations with them, and from them came the Nephilim. Another word in the King James is the giants, and it says these were the mighty men of old, the men of renown. So these were half fallen angel, half human entities. Working in tandem with the spirit beings, the gods who ruled the world, and who still do. Paul tells us that there's a hierarchy of beings over this planet.
And you believe that there are spiritual forces, spiritual beings here in the world today?
I believe they take on flesh, too.
I believe that they do as well.
Absolutely,
go right ahead.
Absolutely. And a lot of our currently popular stories of abduction and of physical testing and abuse and so forth at the hands of these abductors who take people aboard spaceships and so forth, that's the same identical kind of thing we're talking about here. And the Bible tells us that this went on before the flood and also after that. So it didn't all end with the flood. We're still seeing it go on today.
I'm sure we are. Go right ahead.
Okay. So another way. Okay, so there's a way in which, as it was in the days of Noah, so it is today. We're seeing more and more and more of that demonic activity, and we're hearing more and more and more about that kind of demonic activity.
And there are really more and more manifestations of the supernatural.
Exactly, right.
And we'll be back here in just a moment, I guess, as Ellen Traylor. But we're seeing increasing violence all over the world, which we simply sort of minimize. We don't pay much attention to it. Ellen, go right ahead.
Okay, Dr. Stan, now we've talked about violence and immorality. We've talked about demonic activity. And I want to talk about a third way in which this is like the days of Noah today. In the days of Noah, according to all the mythologies around the world and all the legends around the world of the pre-flood world, Dr. Stan, there was some kind of manipulation of the genetic code going on. There was manipulation of the very stuff of life, the DNA of God's creation. And this was being carried on in some kind of laboratories, probably much like what we have going on today, only it was extremely advanced, very, very refined. And there's a reason why all the cultures around the world have mythological beings in their stories, like mermaids, centaurs, minotaurs, Pan, the half-goat, half-man. I mean, all of these cultures, ancient cultures, had these hemibodies, they're called. In other words, they're half this, half that. And sometimes they're two kinds of animals. Sometimes they're a human being and an animal mix. There was cloning going on. There was, you know, all kinds of manipulation of the stuff of life, the things that God had created, the forms that he had created, the species that he had created. Now, can you see then why, when God told Noah to take animals onto the ark, he specified that he wanted a male and a female of each kind? Kind means species. Same word, the species. He wanted a male and a female of each species. Some of them he wanted seven of them. But all of them, he at least wanted one pair of male-female of the species. Why do you suppose he did that?
Well, I assume that he wanted to be able to reproduce them, that species.
The way he had originally created them. Absolutely. Everything else, all the other creatures, all these distortions of the true form of life, true forms of life which he had created originally, were destroyed. Now, this is the third way in which the times we're living in today are like the days of Noah, is that genetic manipulation is becoming commonplace. They're even experimenting now. There are all kinds of rumors, and I think they're pretty well founded, that there are laboratories around this country and elsewhere in the world where they're actually doing things like mixing ape and human genes, you know, sperm and so forth, to create superhuman beings. We know already about cloning, but they're doing all kinds of horrible things where they're trying to mix creatures and see what they can come up with. It's like, you know, mad science. Mad scientist. And there's really no good reason for it.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Cynthia Ellen is drawing the parallel between what happened in the days of Noah before the flood and what's going on, and she points out that there was a tremendous amount of violence there at that time, tremendous immorality. Suddenly there was this effort on demonic activity. There was also genetic manipulation, and there were certainly means by which they were able to alter the genetic structure of animals and even of human beings. And so many the myths of society, mermaids, half woman, half fish. Certainly you see this centaur that the man of the torso of a man and the body of an animal, a mule or a horse. Basically, the question is, well, were there really genetic manipulations before the flood? And basically, Ellen suggests that there really were, and that they were scientists, mad scientists, who were trying to distort, certainly, God's creation, just as there are mad scientists altering the structure of our food and certainly of our diseases and of our human beings today. And now we find out that they're putting human genes into mice and mice genes into human beings. And what sort of madness is taking place? And how long will God continue to put up with this intentional destruction of what he has created? Go right ahead, Ellen.
Okay. A fourth way in which it is today as it was in the days of Noah is that we are becoming extremely technologically advanced. You know, not that that's evil or wrong. It certainly can be used for evil, but Jesus wasn't saying this is good or bad. He was simply saying it will be like this at the end. This is what was going on in the time of Noah. He said people were going to and fro all over the world. Okay, they had technology, they were able to travel, they were able to commute long distances. Who knows, they may have done time travel, I have no idea, but they certainly were highly technologically advanced. They were actually able to accomplish things that we still to this day are not able to accomplish.
Such as?
Okay, Dr. Stan, there's a place in Bolivia which is called Pumapunku. It's 12,800 feet up in the Andes. There are no trees around there. For many, many miles, there are no trees. There is no rock such as you find in the structures there within 60 miles of it. Some of the rock you do not even find anywhere in South America. You find it in Egypt. There is Sumerian writing in these monuments. We're talking 12,800 feet up in the Andes Mountains of South America.
And when you mentioned the Sumerian writings, was this the sort of thing that was coming then from the Middle East at that time, or from Egypt?
Well, let me give you my take on it.
Okay.
Okay. There are structures there that are so finely made that only a laser could possibly create them. And even our laser technology today could not create the kinds of structures that are at Pumapunku. Geologists do not know, archaeologists do not know how old that site is, but it has been estimated, now get this, 10,000 years ago. Now, that's the time of Noah. And these megaliths and these monoliths and these enormous, enormous stones, some of them are 26 feet long. Some of them weigh 100 tons. There were no trees that they could use as rollers to roll them to the site. There was no way in the world. The Andes Indians, the Indians who live in the area, have legends that these things were lowered down from heaven, that they were put there by the gods, and that this was the place of the gods. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me. I do believe that area in particular, if you look at the map in my book, Noah, I have my Baalbek Terrace being right in the very same place. And this was where the it was a landing strip. It was a flight area for the gods to come and go. Now we're talking fallen angels here, not true gods, okay? But the technology, they've never been able to figure out Pumapunku. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Unless you understand there really is another dimension, there really are these beings from the other dimension.
Go ahead. Right, exactly. Now, interestingly, Dr. Stan, they don't know how this area became uninhabited, depopulated. Some of the stones were toppled over.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Okay.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ellen Traylor, and we're talking about this is a very advanced civilization that would be found in, is this actually in the Andes? Is that where it is?
Yes, the Andes. It's in Bolivia.
All right, fine, in Bolivia. But basically, of course, our good friend Jonathan Gray has talked about how there really are, and certainly in the jungle, grown over with vines and certainly the debris of thousands of years, are advanced cities there that very few people have seen. We never talk about these, fact that there were advanced civilizations in South America, many of them, and we have no idea what happened to them. At least we have no logical explanation. But you can write it. But basically, is it that they don't have an explanation, or they don't want the people to know that the story of the flood is accurate? Go ahead.
The only thing they can see in the way of evidence for the destruction, and when I heard this, I got goosebumps, is that there was an enormous flood that wiped it out. Now, this is science, Dr. Stan. This isn't imagination. How is there a flood enormous enough to wipe out a place like that, 12,800 feet in the air? It had to have been the flood of Noah, right?
Well, I think there's so much evidence that the flood took place. They've done everything they could to discredit, but I have no question the flood was real, because every civilization has a story of a flood.
Yes, they do. Everyone. Everyone. And everyone says it's because the earth was so evil, the people had become so corrupt. Everyone has a righteous man and his family or something along that line who was spared and started the world again. There are just too many things that are... When you do research on prehistoric societies, you don't have a written record. You know, if Noah kept a record, we don't have it. So this was passed down orally from generation to generation. I believe that the record we have...
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ellen is simply saying that certainly every civilization has a story about a great flood that came, and then, of course, there was one righteous man who survived, and then he certainly started civilization over again. This is not simply by accident, but this is certainly with almost every civilization. There's all sorts of them out there, and all have the same story, that certainly there was this great flood. And it was because, of course, of the evil that existed at that time. Could this be spontaneous all over the world? Or perhaps is it that the Bible is accurate, talking about the great flood of Noah? But go right ahead, Ellen.
You know, some scientists, supposed scientists, try to tell us that the flood legends are just based on regional cataclysms that happened, you know, like in the Crimea or whatever. No, it's a universal flood. And I think the closest extra-biblical story that we have that gives credence to the biblical story is the story of Atlantis. Atlantis is called an island. Plato goes to great lengths to describe it, but scientists tell us that there was a great cataclysm that busted the single continent called Pangaea into all of the continents and land masses that we have today. And this was a cataclysm unlike anything that had ever happened before or since. It was not only tremendous rainfall, but it was the breaking up of the subterranean chambers. The Bible calls it the fountains of the great deep were broken up, it says, and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, before the great cataclysm, as science calls it, the great cataclysm that busted up Pangaea, the world was covered by a cloud layer, much like Uranus is. And apparently, I love the way the Bible puts it, the windows of heaven were opened, and the fountains of the great deep were broken up. Now, so it wasn't just rainfall. It was the absolute breakup of the sky canopy, and that canopy fell to the earth. It fell to the earth. It took 40 days and 40 nights for it to dissolve and vaporize and fall to the earth.
This was 40 days of rain.
Yes, but it would be, the Bible also calls it the windows of heaven being open. So this rainfall, which was the first rainfall that had ever taken place on Earth, before that it was like a hothouse. It was a hothouse environment, and the plants on Earth were watered by the vapor that came up from the earth, okay? We know what it's like in a hothouse. That's exactly how it happens. It's an enclosed cycle. It doesn't require anything from the outside. That's the way our earth was before this canopy broke. The canopy broke, and we had rainfall for the first time, but it wasn't rain like we have in Oregon here, which can be pretty awful, but it was the literal breaking up of this huge mass of the firmament over the earth. The Bible calls it the firmament. And then along with that, at the same time, simultaneously, the fountains of the great deep were broken up. In other words, the subterranean magma, like a volcano, came spewing up, broke the crust of the earth, split Pangaea into all these continents. And then they gradually, over thousands and thousands of years, have separated. They're still moving apart from one another to this day. They're still floating apart from one another, a few inches at a time over, you know, each year. But at one time, if you take a look at the map of the world and you consider it to be like a jigsaw puzzle, you will see that each continent, each landmass can be squeezed together with its neighbor across the ocean and have a nice dovetail fit. And that's, you look at the coastlines of North America and South America, and you look across the Atlantic over to the coastlines of Africa and Europe, and if you move them across the Atlantic toward one another, they would fit together. It's the same with if you move Australia up from the south over to snuggle in against the Arabian Peninsula and India and so forth, it would fit. All of these land masses fit together at one time. They've just gradually been separating over the millennia. And it must have happened with great thrust in the very beginning. So a lot of that movement took place right out the gate. And then it slowed down, and it's not real fast today, but it's still moving. They say that some of the plant life on the Pacific Rim is identical, like in Japan and in in Oregon, you have the same plant life. That's because they were together at one time. And so I believe that the story of Atlantis is kind of a watered-down version of, you know, trying to explain to the collective audience what happened. It was an oral tradition handed down, trying to explain that there was indeed at one time a single landmass. They became very evil, according to Plato, and the gods destroyed them. Now, that I would say God destroyed them, not the gods, because God actually destroyed the gods, too. But now let me give you a little etymology here, a little language study. If you trace the word Atlantis back etymologically, you come to something like Atlantia, Atlantis, Atlantia, and if you keep tracing it back, it's Adam, Landa.
Well, isn't that interesting?
It's the land of Adam.
Right.
It's the world as it was. It's Eden. It's Eden. So it's simply Eden being destroyed. Interestingly also, Dr. Stanton, this is a side note, if you bring all the continents together, if you bring the land masses together, cut them out sometime from a atlas and put them together on a tabletop, and then pinpoint the general center, find the general center of that landmass. Do you know where that is?
I bet it's in Israel.
It's Jerusalem.
That's right. Go ahead.
It's Jerusalem. Is that awesome?
Yes, it really is. Well, of course, when you understand God, you see his hand in everything going on today. If you don't understand God so much, what's going on just doesn't make sense.
Well, here's another little thing. One of the rivers that flowed through Eden, it named the Tigris and the Euphrates, and it named one called Gihon, G-I-H-O-N. What is the name of the spring that flows under Jerusalem and gives it the water source? It's Gihon Spring.
Right.
I mean, you know, these things you couldn't make this stuff up. You could not make this stuff up. And the secular mindset does not want to accept this. It wants to pass it off as nonsense, as just speculative science and so forth. It really makes more sense to me than anything else out there. And it explains so much. It explains what happened to the world. It explains why it happened. And you just have to take a leap and accept that there's a spiritual dimension to all this. And once you do that, then it opens up all kinds of possibilities, and the Bible supports what I'm talking about. The Bible is the original story. The others are spin-offs, you know, the other legends and myths and so forth from other cultures. God preserved his original story and gave it to Moses to write down. But it had been preserved by the people of Shem, all those generations anyway. The Hamites and Japhethites kind of messed it up and lost track of it and added a bunch of stuff and made it pretty weird. The Semites kept it. They kept the original story, and then Moses just wrote it down. In Genesis, where he talks about the Nephilim being the mighty men of old, the men of renown. You know, in our culture, so far removed from that, and we don't know. I mean, you just read that and you go, okay, well, what's that talking about? He's saying to the people who heard his story and who read his story, he's saying, you guys all know who I'm talking about. He didn't even have to go into any explanation. He said, these are the mighty men of renown, the ones you all know about.
And basically he's talking about the Nephilim?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And so they understood this with no problem. because it was in their realm of understanding. It was part of their story. It was part of their history. In our Western secularized society, we have lost that.
But because we don't believe that there are demonic forces, we don't believe in the occult and the supernatural, at least most people don't. Or if they do, they're way off into some other world interpretation. But
right.
Basically the concept that there could have been demonic beings, angels here, that would have mated with women and had offspring, the Nephilim. Uh-huh. This is so far from the reality of most people. This is why everybody wants to talk about the E.T. They want to talk about sort of the extraterrestrials coming here to America.
Right.
They cannot accept the biblical story of the demonic beings and the wicked angels. Go ahead.
Right, right. And yet that is part of what Jesus was talking about when he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when I come again. So we are coming closer and closer and closer every day to the extreme form of all this, which existed at the time of Noah. I don't think we're quite there yet, but that doesn't mean that we're not there sufficiently for Jesus to come again.
But I think what's really fascinating is certainly the high level of scientific advancement and technology that they had before the Great Flood. Would that be a fair assessment?
Oh, goodness, yes. Oh, absolutely.
And this is really what you bring out in your book on Noah, and you actually, with the form, you have a story about this, but you go into great detail on all the scientific advancements that existed at that time.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I don't know, you know, we've talked about violence and immorality. We've talked about demonic activity. We've talked about genetic manipulation. We've talked about technology. The Bible has given us a roadmap, and it's made it very clear as to what we need to be watching out for. And I don't think that we need to go much further down that road before God is going to pull the plug on all of it. We haven't even begun to talk about the immorality, really. We talked about the violence. But, you know, our culture is becoming so accepting of the most far-fetched definitions of family and marriage and the acceptance of the killing of the unborn and the fear of even pointing a finger or saying anything for fear that we'll be called hate mongers and so forth. Well, I'm very sorry, but the Bible is very clear that this absolutely cannot happen without God's retribution. It absolutely cannot. It happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. He made it clear at that point. I would not want to have been in Sodom and Gomorrah when that happened. If you go over there today, you will see rubble that stretches for miles and miles and miles. And geologists come from all over the world just to study these little briquette-type pieces of ash, hardened ash, that litter the valley floor around Sodom and Gomorrah for miles in every direction.
Well, you know, it's the most interesting thing, Ellen. We've actually took 6 trips to Israel, and every time we'd go there, I'd always say, well, now, where is Sodom and Gomorrah? And they'd take you down to Masada, but they would never show you Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet the ruins are there. They know where they are. But the last thing they want the public to know is that the story is real. And basically, I have a friend, actually. In fact, he's our producer tonight on the program on the board. And he actually was able to go with a group that went there and they dug down, and he has the sulfur balls to prove it.
Mm-hmm. They're little. They look like little briquettes.
Have you actually seen them?
I've been there. I have some of those.
Oh, you have? Okay, fine.
I have some of those myself.
And said, basically, you mean, how could you certainly conspire to keep literally every or almost all of the millions of tourists who go to Israel from actually seeing the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah and recognizing the validity of the story and really what happened to a society where homosexuality became norm and basically it is simply suppressed, and the organized effort on the part of all of the tour guides and all of the tour agencies and certainly most of the ministries over there to conceal the truth.
Well, I didn't know that because I was able to go there. But
well, you were forced to, but I say is we were there six times. Every time we would ask, and every time they'd say, oh, it's down there someplace.
Oh, wow. So, well, you have to go over into Jordan to see it. You can't, you know, I mean, it's in Jordan. So it's near Petra, actually. So I didn't know they were keeping people from going there now. I don't know, you know. We didn't have any trouble going there. We just requested to go there. There are no ruins, Dr. Stan. There are no foundations. It's gone. It is just plain gone. And all there is there is this miles and miles in every direction from the point where those cities were. There were five cities there. It's just nothing but briquettes. And if you dig down far enough, it's green glass, just solid green glass under the sand. And the only way that that can happen is such heat that it would actually melt the sand.
Well, our guest, of course, is Ellen Traylor. We're talking about her book, Noah, and basically we carry the book. We think it's important because you must understand that this was a very advanced society that was actually destroyed at that time, destroyed certainly by certainly God, and retribution for violating of his laws. And basically it happened certainly before the flood, it happened after the flood with the Sodom and Gomorrah, and of course the fear is it's going to happen in America. We're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program right here at the Radio Liberty Network. Ellen, how can people get your website, get your material?
I've written 19 books, Dr. Stan. Quite a few of them are along the line of Noah, their biblical novels. And I've written some other books, by the way, which I know you have enjoyed talking to me about, The Priest and the Oracle. And I'm almost done with the third one in that series. Anyway, you can find my books at ellentraylor.com. ellentraylor.com. There's a shopping cart on there. You can go right on there and order them. They're also available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all the other big sites. You can have your bookstores order them if they're not carrying them. And some of my books are now on Kindle. As a matter of fact, Noah is one of them. It's available on Kindle. So if you have an e-reader and you want to read Noah that way, and some of my other books also, Gabriel, The War in Heaven, The Priest and the Oracle, Mary Magdalene, Something Like Scales, those are all in e-book now.
Well, Cindy, I can attest to the fact that they're wonderful reading, and we had a great time over a period of years reading your books, and I don't know how it was, we sort of just didn't get you back on again for a number of years, because I've always thought that your appraisal is certainly of history and your research that went into those books was certainly unparalleled, and certainly I think your whole grasp of what things were like before Noah, certainly before the flood, and I think it's so vitally important people understand that this was an advanced society and it was totally destroyed and mankind had literally to start in all over again. Of course, they were able to, but then, of course, I believe that the Nephilim came back again, not those that were destroyed, but I believe the angels, the dark angels came back. Do you believe that there are Nephilim on the world today?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And I believe they're in high offices.
That is a frightening thing to contemplate, but I certainly would not challenge that thought at all. We're just about out of time.
Okay.
What is the message you'd like to leave with our listeners this evening?
Well, you know, God destroyed the earth with water the first time, and he said he would never do that again. And he put the rainbow in the sky as a promise that he would never destroy the earth by water again. However, in the end, this time, it will be destroyed by fire. I just implore people to embrace the salvation that God has given us. Jesus is called the Ark of Safety. And so climb on board because he is the only one.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ellen was simply saying that basically God said he would never destroy the earth again by water, and that he gave us the rainbow to verify that promise. But he said that if earth was going to be destroyed again, it would be by fire. And suddenly those days, you wonder, how could you destroy the whole world by fire? Today, we understand the danger of nuclear weapons. And basically, I tremble for my country. I want to reflect that God is just, and his justice is not going to sleep forever. Ellen Gunter, Ellen, thank you so very much for being with us. It's a real pleasure. Hope to see you again real soon.
Okay, I really appreciate it. Go to ellentrailer.com.
Ellentrailer.com, where uh-huh. all of our books are listed. Bye-bye, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. We do carry all of Ellen's, or almost all of Ellen's books. And we haven't been really pushing them. We really should. They're wonderful, wonderful books, and specifically her book on Noah. Because you must understand how things were at that time to understand the similarity between as it was in the days of Noah and as it is today. And if you'd like to get the book on Noah, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You might even want to get a copy of this program it's vitally important that you understand the significance of the events that are taking place in the world today. So if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, let me suggest that you get it. Certainly, we have a number of other talks. One of them is called The Forbidden Secret. It goes into the background of the secret societies that rule the world today. But what is the secret about them? Well, they're all demonic. There really are demonic forces in the world today. And basically, on the off time with Ellen, we were just talking about the Nephilim. I asked her, do you think there are Nephilim in the world today? And she not only thought there were Nephilim in the world today, but they were holding key positions in our society. And I would simply suggest, if you have any question that this is real, go to trilateral.org. Trilateral.org and look at the Trilateral Commission logo. And it's made up of three curved arrows. And you can, if you're a little paranoid, you can look at the inside. You can almost imagine three sixes, like 666. But there's no question that the three curved arrows are joined together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross. And suddenly you go into your search engine and type in Nero's cross, and you'll see that is, of course, what is the joining together, the logo of the Trilateral Commission. And this is an emblem of the ancient secret societies dedicated to world government. And that's exactly what the Trilateral Commission is today. And you must understand that these forces are at work in our society. There really is a secret cabal, and if you doubt that, well, you need to get David Rockefeller's memoirs, which we carry, and read page 405, where he talks about the secret cabal that is working against the best interests of the United States and is conspiring with others around the world to bring about a more integrated global and economic system. Those are his words, not mine. He talks about the secret cabal that he's part of. You need to get the verification. Glenn Beck was the only person who had the courage to read that over a major television network just before he ceased being there on Fox Network. Because if you tell the truth, you're going to lose your job. Fortunately, I'm answerable to no one but our listeners out there. And if you'd like to help Radio Liberty so we can continue bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you're not in a position financially to back us, we ask you to pray for us. To pray for Radio Liberty, for our family, for our staff, for our provision, and for our protection. Because we truly are engaged in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, recognizing that only certainly a mass revival across America is going to change the course of history. Is it going to occur? I don't know, but I want you to pray for it. And of course, what we need to do, and we are one by one bringing more and more people back to the Lord, and perhaps that's all we're going to accomplish. But that is what we're doing. Good night, and God bless you.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Is it getting interesting or what? I can't believe the stories we're seeing. I cannot believe the extent to which the administration is going to create problems for the agenda to be found out. Are they just wanting to poke people in the eye with a hot stick? Is that their goal? And to have them respond, it's just amazing. There is, aside from the tornado situation, and that is huge, and that is being carried on television and promoted on television, just like the Newtown shootings, just like the marathon. It's amazing. There's a psychological manipulation of the people through the horror of this tornado. And it's by design. It's all about grieving and watching you, or you watching the grieving that's taking place on television.